This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. The Darlington School in Rome, Georgia, faces allegations of sexual assault dating from the 1970s and 80s. A number of former students filed suit in June. They allege former teacher Roger Stifelmore molested or sexually abused them. The Hidden Predator Act was passed in 2015. It makes it easier for victims of childhood sexual abuse to sue their abusers. And now, in response to that case at Darlington, state legislators want to expand the Hidden Predator Act and give victims more time to sue and allow them to sue institutions as well as individuals. With me now to talk about this is Alan Judd, investigative reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Good to have you back.
Good morning.
And on the phone is Darren Penn, a lawyer representing the victims in the case. Hi, Darren.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Alan, let's talk about the state of what the Hidden Predator Act lets you do and not, and why they want to make changes to it.
Right. Well, the 2015 Act created a two-year window for adults who were victimized by sexual predators as children to file lawsuits against the perpetrator, regardless of whether the statute of limitations had expired. That two-year window closed at the end of June, and the new proposal in the legislature by Representative Spencer would create a new time period for victims to file suits, and not only against the perpetrator, but also against an institution that may have covered up or failed to prevent the abuse in the first place.
Now, the first things people think of are, of course, some of the very, very large institutions like the Boy Scouts and like the Catholic Church. Is the opposition to this coming from institutions?
Yeah, it's from groups like the church or churches. It is from business groups because they worry about, to some degree, you know, the liability. Insurance companies obviously have a stake in this because they will end up having to pay out more claims if these lawsuits go forward.
So let's actually hear, Darren, let's hear this comment from Lori Goodstein, who's national religion correspondent for The New York Times. And she's talking about, in this case, she's talking about individual Catholic bishops and how they handled allegations of sexual abuse in the early 2000s.
Some were more proactive. Some were completely negligent. And some were criminal in that they were covering up known abusers and failing to report them to law enforcement.
Darren, how important would a change in the law be that makes it possible to sue institutions?
Oh, I think it's critically important. As Alan said, the original law, you know, it created that window of opportunity and allowed the claims to be filed against individuals. However, you cannot file claims against the entities that were involved in this. And often what you see is the entities themselves, those are the ones that are creating the policies that are creating these kinds of situations and basically fostering this kind of conduct.
Well, let me actually play another comment. This is from John Buckland. He was a victim of sexual abuse in the Boy Scouts decades ago. He did this interview with Anderson Cooper in 2012.
Well, the secrecy is the demon in the whole thing. You know, for 30 years, almost 30 years, we were pieces of paper. We finally have a voice. We're people now.
Alan, there are a number of victims advocates who say that, echo what Darren said in terms of fostering an environment. What does that mean when you say an institution fosters an environment?
When they find out about allegations of abuse, they cover them up, or they don't get to the bottom of it, or maybe they move the perpetrator from one classroom to another, or from, you know, one Boy Scout troop to another, or one church to another.
Is it usually out of fear of liability?
It's hard to say, but I think that's a big part of it. I think it's also, to some degree, it's a denying the reality of what's happening. They don't want to acknowledge that this person who they've entrusted could do these awful things to, in most cases, children, right under their noses, and they didn't know about it.
Let me read a statement from the Darlington head of school, Brent Bell. The statement reads, quote, this is a portion of the statement. Speaking for the entire Darlington community, I'm heartbroken by what these former students have shared and have been going through. I'm sorry they've had to endure this pain for so long. We recognize that the situation is very difficult and emotional for those who have bravely come forward for the entire Darlington community. Our aim from the beginning has been to know the whole truth. To that end, we continue to conduct an internal examination and to cooperate fully with law enforcement officials. As head of school, my door remains open to anyone who has any information helpful to this process, end quote. And again, that's a partial statement. Darren, do in your case at least, is it difficult to find, to break through some of these veils of secrecy and get the information you need to actually take a case to court?
Yes, there are many obstacles to trying to get to the truth, and I will tell you that the statement from Darlington, it is a good start. It's a very good start, and you know I think with the goal of this lawsuit is to accomplish two things. It's one, to acknowledge and get to the truth, as you just brought up, and then secondly to try to fix it and try to make sure this kind of stuff does not go forward ever again with this kind of an institution, especially. Here in the state of Georgia, or actually anywhere. And then third, you want to try to redress some of the harm that's been done to these victims. In talking about how difficult some of the evidence can be, I mean, you're talking about years and years ago when this kind of conduct was at its height. You know, and in the Darlington case in particular, we're talking about a professor that was there for about a 20-year period, and then he left in about 1994. So the evidence... You know, you're relying on memories in many cases, and you're relying on what the school itself maintained in its files. You know, fortunately, in this case, there are a number of witnesses. I mean, my last count, I think we're talking about close to 30 witnesses.
Holy cow. Let's hear again a comment from John Buckland. Again, he was a victim of sexual abuse while in the Boy Scouts, and this is from his interview with Anderson Cooper.
Life is extremely altered when this happens to you, dramatically. I mean, it spiraled me into drug use and suicide attempts and you name it. It my life was characterized of, you know, you've got a pool full of swimmers and you're watching all of them swim very well and you're just doing all you can to tread water.
Alan, why do you think legislative views of sexual abuse cases has changed? How has that evolved?
I think more and more lawmakers recognize the damage that this does to people, and they've gotten past the old mentality of, well, why didn't they say something at the time? And you know, the reality is that a lot of victims think they're the only one. They don't think anybody will believe them, or they don't really understand
what
happened.
There's a lot of shame involved.
There's a lot of shame involved, and many of them don't come forward for decades, if they ever come forward at all. And I think people now understand that in a way they did not in the past. You know, in the 1970s and even into the 80s, when a lot of this abuse allegedly occurred at Darlington, there just wasn't the vocabulary that most people had to deal with it, to explain it, to talk about it. And that's evolved over time.
So, Darren, what is the purpose of legislating these cases and filing suit? What's behind that question is, are we talking about a bigger benefit to the victims themselves in terms of seeing justice done, or is it a larger impact on institutions and how it might change policy going forward?
I think it's both. And I think even adding to that, I think it's providing a real benefit and a real service to the public as a whole. I mean, first of all, you file these lawsuits because you want to raise the awareness of this issue. And as Alan alluded to, you know, this is something that the science is catching up with and showing that these victims, they do not come forward until later. Many times the memories are suppressed until much later in life, and it makes it more difficult to bring those kinds of claims. So you want to raise the awareness. You want to address the issue at these kinds of institutions and churches and other national organizations, and you also want to be able to do something about it for the public, to address the harm.
Alan, what are the chances that these changes to the law will actually happen?
From what I've heard, it sounds pretty positive that at least some version of it will pass. Obviously, it'll go through the legislative process with the committee hearings and amendments and so forth. Interestingly, no one will publicly come out against it. Even the groups that have opposed it in the past or opposed the idea in the past work very quietly. It's not very good public relations to stand up and say, we want to suppress the ability of sex abuse victims to seek redress.
And is this to a certain extent, are you talking about it being bipartisan, that even, no matter what party you're in, people, this may be a uniting issue?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, obviously, Representative Jason Spencer is the sponsor of this. He's a Republican. He has, I believe, three or four of the five or six initial co-sponsors were Democrats, other Republicans as well. So, yeah, it is a bipartisan issue. That we don't see very often.
Darren,
Alan's exactly right about that. There are a number of Democratic representatives that are co-sponsors of the bill, one of them being actually someone who works at my office, Mr. David Dreyer, who's a representative, and he's a Democrat, and he is a co-sponsor of the bill.
So when, Darren, do your plaintiffs get their day in court?
That is a really good question. We are very early in the suit. There have, after filing the suit, a number of other individuals have reached out to us. So we're in the process of investigating additional claims. I know the school, I believe, also is investigating as much as they possibly can, and we have not gotten to the point where there's even been a response from the school to the lawsuit. And I anticipate that will occur in September, and then from that point forward, there'll be I anticipate a lot of legal investigation into the facts, trying to get to the truth of the case, and realistically for our clients to have justice, I would say is not likely to happen until sometime in 2018.
That is Darren Penn, an Atlanta attorney representing the plaintiffs in this lawsuit involving Darlington community. And Alan Judd is an investigative reporter for the AJC. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks, Celeste.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.